Praise the Lord. Good morning. I'm analog today with the Bible. In 1 Peter 1, verse 9, verse 9. There you go, if you're following. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." But you are a chosen generation. What does that mean? That means you've been chosen, that you're not here by accident. You're not here today by accident, and you're not here at this time by accident. God has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for you. A royal priesthood. You know what the priests did? They ministered before the Lord. They put you know, the bread out that was part of the sign of an offering to God. They put out, they lit the candles, made sure they were always burning. They made sure that the incense was burning. They made sure that all of the articles for worship were working. And then the priest, the holy time, goes into the Holy of Holies and puts blood on the mercy seat once a year. We are a royal priesthood. We are called to be ministers to Jesus and ministers to God and to worship before him. A holy nation. A holy nation. His own special people. His own special people. Some translations say a peculiar people. His own special people. We are his people. And why are we all of this? So that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So guess what? Priests, royal priests, chosen people, we now have an opportunity to worship God. And let's worship him today in spirit and in truth with all our hearts. Let's not just read the words. Let our hearts, let our spirits, let everything within us connect with the Lord as we're singing. And if you don't sing, just connect with him. Just spend this time drawing closer to him as he's drawing closer to you. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, Lord. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, Lord, a special people, Lord, that have been set aside, Lord, to praise you, that have been set aside, Lord, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we choose to do that today, Lord. We choose to focus our eyes, our hearts, and all of our being on you, Lord. Let this time, Lord, be a time, Lord, where you are glorified, where your name is exalted, Jesus, where we rejoice because we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and brought into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him, church.
burdens, healing our hearts to our God. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing alleluia. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing alleluia. Singing alleluia. Oh. Chains have been broken, eyes have been drivers is starting to rise. Death is defeated. We are victorious. You are alive, our God. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up.
Make his praise glory.
lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song.
To our God we lift up a song. To our God we lift up a song.
you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship. star. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for Jesus. There's no one else.
So this is how I fight my battles. And this
same. I will never leave your love. Oh, you save me. You save me. You save me. I will never leave your love. Never.
Just give just a word from the Lord. in Lamentations 3, it says, 3 and verse 22, it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And then on 25, it says, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. I just wanted to come up here and just give a praise report for my mom. I don't know if you guys know the story, but they diagnosed her with stomach cancer a couple months ago, and they'd just been delaying her surgeries and, like, her, you know, opening up her stomach. And the doctor, I was there when the doctor told her, you know, we're going to cut out some of your stomach, and that's basically it, you know. And I just praise God, because my sister texted us the other day and she said, good news from the doctor. She said, they told me that the pathology report shows that they got everything and all the margins from what they extracted have no cancer cells at all. And she said, this is what the doctor told her. She said, your mom trusted in God and God came through. So the doctor even acknowledged, like, God came through because, you know, your mom trusted in her. And I just want to thank God for that, because we went from, you know, cutting her stomach open and just a quality of life over, you know, what was going to happen. And I thank God because he's faithful. His mercies are new every day, and he's so faithful, and he knows his timing is so perfect, because, you know, we wanted, I was like, mom, like, get your stomach cut up already. Like, when you take that cancer out. But God had a different plan. God already knew all along what was going to happen. And I just am thankful for that. And this is why I praise him today. My mom knows that all the prayers that have been come up for her, and she's so thankful for that. And I just want to praise God because he's faithful, and he's still doing miracles. You know, my mom, I wouldn't want my stomach cut open. I wouldn't wish that on an 87-year-old mom, you know. But I just thank the Lord, because he knew all along what was happening, and he knew he had a perfect plan for her. And so I just thank God, because, you know, everything is fine, and they're not going to see her for a couple more months. But God is just so faithful, and that's why I thank him. And so just wanted to just let you guys know, this is why we thank him, you guys.
Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you are worthy of it all. so worthy, and you are worthy of it all. It's only you, God, for from you are all things, and to you are all things, as you deserve the glory. Oh, sing day and night, day and night. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
God says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There's something about testifying. There's something about sharing from the depths of your being about the good things that God has done for you. So I believe there's someone here today that has a testimony. A testimony that when they share it, it's going to take them to a next level in God. Because you're going to have a new overcoming power working in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that testimony, God. Thank you, Lord, for the courage, Lord, for the one to share that testimony, Lord, of the good things that you have done in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Who is that? Oh, here we go. Praise God. Here we go, Saint.
Last December, I was headed for a Bible study, and I was going up Yakima Avenue to 16th, over to Titan, and then up Titan to 67th. I was stopped at Titan and 16th because the light was red. When it turned red, God told me in my spirit, don't move. And about 10 seconds later, a car went through the internet. His light was red. Mine was green. If I had gone, I would have died right there.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Yes, praise God.
Amen. 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 The Holy Spirit communicating to his children. Stop. Don't go. I was driving down the street one time, right down the main street. And I was just coming, I was actually coming from a prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit told me to slow down. And when I slowed down, a car came from behind a building, 30 miles an hour, running a stop sign. Went into the other side of traffic, passed right in front of me. Had I been going, they would have hit me T-bone. And went into the other lane and hit a car. I feel bad for the other car, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Holy Spirit, gentle, gentle voice of God says, slow down. Don't move. Don't move. Praise God. Who else has a testimony? Who else is ready to live in an overcoming life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know that the early church, it said that many came. And when they came, everyone had a song, or someone had a song, someone had a word. They were like fighting over to be able to share what God was doing in their life. I know someone's got a testimony. I'm looking right at him right now. Praise God. Brother.
Praise God. Praise God. My name is Derek. Some of you know me. Some of you don't. You guys have been my family. The ones that know me, the ones that are just getting to know me, you guys, thank you, because you guys are my family now. And I've been with this for like 10 years, almost 10 years, 9 years. And I've been through craziness, ups and downs. And to be honest, you know, I've been out for a week now, coming back from my incarceration. I've been on a lot of ups and downs through this journey. I gave my life to Christ in 2009 in a jail cell. God brought me here to Yakima. I walked up and down the streets when I first showed up. And I was looking at the churches. I was looking at the outsides. Seeing the big churches, and I was like, wow, that one looks good to go to. That one looks good to go to. And the Holy Spirit, you just mentioned, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and stopped me and said, what are you doing? And he reminded me of, it's the inside. It's concerned about the heart. It's not the appearance. The appearance might look good. I could look good up here on the outside, but I could be just as a mess as an inside. So I prayed on it, and I let the Holy Spirit lead me to the church, show me the church. This whole time, I was walking past Holy Family. Up on Titan up there at the time. I was working Red Lion at that time. And son came in. He was delivery that day. Michael, right?
No,
Stephen. Stephen came in. He was delivering food. I was listening to my Christian hip-hop music. And he was dropping off food. I checked it in. He said, hey, you listen to Lecrae? I said, yeah. And he walked out the door. All right, God bless. Have a good day. The Holy Spirit spoke to me again. Go after him. Go out there. I don't know what I was going to ask him, but I opened the door. I said, hey, are you brother in Christ? And he said, yes. I said, all right. And he said, I play on the worship team up at Holy Family. You should come check us out sometime. I was like, all right. One life. I'm sorry. I'm kind of nervous.
You're good. You're
but
good. I don't want people to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So one life family worship. And so this whole time I've been walking by that church previously. And during this time I was looking at these big churches on the outside. That's when the Holy Spirit told me, you know, let me lead you to where you need to be. So I listened, and that was my door. That was my way. And since then, I've been with this family, and they've been with me every step of the way through this journey. I came, I got baptized. Man, the enemy was on attack that day. Didn't want me to get baptized. I followed through with it, obeying, obedient. I struggled, but coming to understand that's a part of the journey,
yeah.
And it's growth. And I can stand here today and honestly say that I'm not ashamed. I got married at the church that he brought me to. And I got my beautiful wife that's been coming here faithfully, stood by my side, and I'm learning how to be a husband. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you. So it's a journey. It's a learning. I know that God's not done.
He's not.
And I'm just grateful that I'm learning and I'm understanding more and more that no matter what it is that we are going through, because going through my challenges and facing mine, and just knowing that every single one of us has our own individual hardships and struggles. And so it's very encouraging and it's very heartwarming, and it's very amazing to know that you guys are all my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And there's no shame, there's no guilt. I get to walk in freedom. The truth will set you free. And I'm grateful to be back. And it's amazing to have a wife that I get to praise the Lord with and walk this journey with.
Amen.
And a family.
Amen.
So thank you all.
Amen. See you right there. Valencia, come on over.
I've had the honor and privilege to pray for Derek during this last incarceration. He's been through a lot of struggles. And this couple is seeking the Lord in their life. And I'm looking forward now to be able to lay hands on you and pray and bless your family. Anyone else whose heart is being stirred to come lay hands on this couple, they're over in Tukwila right now. And maybe there for a while. But God has a place for them. Not only there, but in his kingdom. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for Derek and Valencia, God. We thank you, God, for his testimony, God, of restoration. Yes, Lord, I believe, God, that this is the final time, Lord, for being incarcerated, God, that his heart is purposed in serving you, in serving his family, in being as Jesus to his family, Lord, to lay down his life. Father, I pray for divine guidance, divine wisdom, divine leadership for Derek, God. I pray that you would help him serve his family well, serve wherever he is well. Lord, I pray a blessing over them right now as a couple. I pray a blessing over their marriage. I pray, God, that if there's anything that the enemy has meant for evil in their life, God, turn it to good. Lord, make it so that it comes back on the enemy, and the good that is produced, Lord, just outweighs and terrifies the enemy. God, we thank you, Lord, for this testimony. And Lord, we do agree that he's overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony as he stands here, God. We pray right now for a strength. We pray now for a foundation to be established in his feet. God, that he'll be firmly planted on the rock, and that he will not be swayed. He will not be moved. He will not be in any way altered from his path that you have set him on to restoration and full place in the ministry you've called him to. God, we just bless his feet, bless his health, Lord. We pray, Lord, for restoration, Lord, for his knee. We pray for healing right now for his knee, God. I know he's talking about seeing a doctor, but God, you are the great physician. So, Lord, we just ask right now for healing for his knee, Lord, that it would be fully replaced with a good knee in Jesus' name. Give him the strength that he needs, God. And we bless Valencia right now, Lord. We bless her. We thank you for her heart. We thank you, Lord, that she's been pursuing you, Lord. Lord, we know the enemy's brought many, many trials to her, Lord, but we know that you're establishing her ways. And Lord, that what has been set in as a trial to set her off, Lord, has drawn her closer to you, Lord. And we say, bless your daughter in Jesus' name. Let the word of God lead and guide and direct their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You have something for him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're just praying. Okay, praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay.
I guess breakfast burritos are back for men's breakfast, right?
Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think, Eric, we'll go right into the word, if that works for you. I don't think we want to. Is that good? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Children, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Be blessed in your class. And we just release you to receive everything that God has for you today in Jesus' name. Thank you, bro.
Check, check, check. Maybe bring it down a little bit.
Oh, there you go. No, it's off. It's off.
Hello, hello, hello. This is me talking. You know, honestly, I'm going to keep this short and brief. Because really what's on my heart is that what we just experienced is a move of God. And what I believe God wants to do in our house is to make this a normal occurrence. And not to fabricate, not to, oh, let's muster up the holy, or these holy moments, so we can feel goosebumps and so we can feel this, that, and the other. But actually, let's just be obedient to what God's doing in the room. And I really believe what has been the catalyst for this is the heart of prayer that's been stirred up in this house. And I believe that God is honoring our hearts, because we're honoring his heart. And our pastor has been obedient and diligent in going after prayer. And, you know, it's sometimes I feel silly talking about us being a house of prayer, or us, you know, a church focusing on prayer, because every church should focus on prayer. Every church should have a heart of prayer. But sometimes the church gets confused, and we make things that are important. We make things important to us that aren't important to God. And I love what our brother said here about, you know, this nice church, and I could go to that church, and how the church can look good on the outside, but really it matters on the inside. And, you know, I don't want to speak any ill will against any church in our city, and I won't. But I will say this, is that we can get so focused on making the building pretty and making the sanctuary pretty and having pretty people in seats and be satisfied with that and be content with that, but have a bunch of dead people inside of those big buildings. And I really feel like that grieves God's heart, in that we will gather on a Sunday morning, multiple services, and have, you know, the LED screens and LED lights. And don't get me wrong, like, hear me, if you know me, you know, like, I think that's cool. And I would love that if our church had the budget and we just had LED screens and you would, you know. I also think that we Jesus isn't coming back for LED screens. Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. And he doesn't care about the LED screens. He doesn't care about, you know, the fancy clothes we wear. He doesn't care about any of that. He cares about simply this, that did we do what he said? Were we obedient to him? Were we obedient to his word? And, excuse me, you know, and prayer is an integral part of that. I believe that any house that is basked in prayer is going to be a blessed house. And I mean that in our church setting as a house, but in your house as well. If you want to have a blessed house, pray over your house. If you want to have a blessed marriage, pray over your marriage. If you want to bless children, pray over your children. You want to have a blessed job, pray over your job. You know, if we are discontent with where we are in life, speaking of our job, we have to remember this, that if we're following God, he put us there for a specific reason, and maybe, just maybe, it was so we could be a light in that place. Wow. And just maybe it's so we can pray over that place. You know, in Acts 2, it, I just want to read in the beginning of Acts 2. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. Now, backstory, and some of us may know all of this, but I just like to give context, that this is, you know, weeks, you know, maybe a month and a half even after, Jesus had ascended. And so, you know, the disciples are waiting, and they're not just waiting, twiddling their thumbs, they're actually being stirred up, and they're trying to do the very thing Jesus called them to do, and that is to seek him. And in doing so, what we see is this moment that happened that changed the trajectory of the church as we know it. The reason why we are able to experience God the way we are, the reason why we're able to have an hour plus of just worship and going after God the way we were, is because of this moment. And it says this, it says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongues? I want to skip down to verse 14 as Peter addresses the crowd. Now again, Peter's the one who he denied Jesus, and Peter was zealous. Peter was ride or die for Jesus. He was the one that's like, Jesus, if you die, I die. Peter's the one who took out a sword and he cut off the ear of the one who came to grab Jesus. Like, that's Peter. And Peter denied Jesus, and he walked in shame, and he walked in hurt, and he walked in all this. And then we have Peter standing on business for his Savior. We have Peter saying, okay, let me tell you about this Jesus. And in verse 14, it says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. This is what we're going after. for the Spirit of God to be poured out on us. This is why we gather on a Saturday night in a home, because we want the Spirit of God to be poured out on us. This is why our pastor prays diligently for the house of God, because he wants the Spirit of God to be poured out on us. This is why we cover our marriages and cover our homes and cover our children, cover our city, our workplaces, because we want the Spirit of God to be poured out on us. It's not about a Sunday morning. It's not about a Sunday gathering. This is good. This is holy. This is what we should be doing. Every Christian should have a Christian body to be attached to. I believe that. But we can get so focused on these 2 hours, and we lose focus of what God cares about the most, and that's when we leave this place. It's the Spirit of God being poured out. When we get in our car and we have conversations with our family, it's the Spirit of God being poured out. When we go to lunch and the waitress messes up our order, is the Spirit of God being poured out? Are we still operating in the Spirit of God, or are we operating in something else? When injustice happened in our families or in our lives, when injustice happened in our city, you know, the people that should be the poster child for how to respond to injustice is the Christians. Christians should be the ones that are standing up and say, this is how we respond to injustice. And the Spirit of God should be the at the forefront of being poured out over things that stir you up. If you're stirred up about something that is wrong in this world, it should be led by the Spirit of God. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. You know, my sermon today was going to be surrounded by the theme was creating a culture of prayer. And what my heart was to speak was this, is that, because what is culture? Culture is just how a system operates, okay? So if you have a culture of prayer in your life, that means that everything is being done through prayer. It's not a suggestion. When Jesus talks to his disciples, he says, when you pray. And that tells me that Jesus assumes his disciples are going to pray. It's not a, if you pray, or, hey, if you have time, or, hey, if you're feeling super holy, or, hey, before you eat, pray. No, he's saying, when you pray, this is how you pray. He also says this about fasting. That's a whole other sermon. But he says, when you pray, the implication being that we as believers, as disciples, we are to pray. And I get that sometimes, you know, we deal with this with our young people, with our teenagers all the time. You know, I talk about prayer and I feel like it doesn't connect. And I believe the reason why it doesn't connect for young people, especially, not all of them, but some of them, and why it might not even connect with you, is that because if you don't have a connection with the Father, prayer doesn't make much sense. If I don't actually have a connection, an encounter with the Father, then who am I talking to? What am I saying? Right? The reason why I'm able to connect with my wife the way I am is because I know who she is. Right? I know who she is. And for the last 20 plus years, we've been in communication, and we've experienced life together, and we've been on journeys together, and we've encountered one another. And so when I talk to her, I know her and she knows me. In your relationship with the Lord, if it's just a 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. thing, then when we talk about prayer, you're like, oh, well, I don't know how to do that, because the only time I connect with him is on a Sunday morning. The only time I connect with him is if I go to my Bible study, or if I go to my you know, the conference or whatever. And those things aren't bad, but we can't substitute an encounter with God for just those moments. God uses those moments to light a fire under you. Right. But we have to understand, like, we deal with this every year. We take youth students down to camp, and I love camp, and we encourage kids to go to camp, and we say, don't, you know, let money be a reason. Like, we want kids to go to camp. But the problem is, a lot of times, is that kids get all stirred up because we have no service. So they're not on their phones. Right. For 4 days, they're going after Jesus, and they're like, man, we're going to go home and we're going to change the world. But we get home on a Thursday, and on a Friday, they're back to just their routine. And so it's more than just the moments. It's using the moments to get on fire, but then staying on fire and learning how to connect with him. And not just utilizing those one special moments. I mean, and I know I use this example a lot, but just it's because it's the only, like, I love my wife so much, and so it's the closest thing to my love for God that I can even like compute. But if I wait for the date nights to be like, man, I really enjoy the date night. Like, that's the encounter, right? That's the camp moment. That's the super holy moment, right? But then the rest of the time I'm with her, I'm like, I actually don't know how to connect with you, because the only time I know how to connect with you is when we're on a special date night, which when we don't have kids around and we don't have any obligations and it's just you and I. Like, I don't know how to connect with you outside of that. Then our marriage is going to fall apart. Because we can't, that's not a reality we can live in, where we're just constantly on a date night. No, it's a consistent choosing of her that keeps me connected to her. So in the same way, if I consistently choose God, I stay connected to him. How do I choose him? I wake up and I say yes to him. And when my yes is so clear to him, it makes my no really easy. When I say yes to him, I'm saying yes to what he wants to do in my life. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. You know, full transparency. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, you know, we were presented with an opportunity, my wife and I. And we were praying about taking this opportunity that would have had us leave this church. And It was uncomfortable, and it was, you know, it wasn't, it was a really interesting season for us, because, you know, we love our church and we love what we're doing here, and prayer, it's the only thing, it is one of the most important things, I'll say that. It's one of the most important things we can do. And it should be the first thing we do in any moment, especially in difficult decisions. And I had this crossroad moment, I remember, where God was saying, I'm gonna bless you wherever you go, but I'm also gonna make it apparent to you what the better of these two decisions are. And I'm sitting there, and I remember it was over Christmas break last 2024 of December. And I remember just thinking, like, God, why would you put these decisions in front of me that seem like they're both good and whatever, because maybe you guys can't fully connect with this. I just want you to try it for a second. Like, what is the thing that you want to do, right? The thing that you're like, I feel called to this. The thing that you're like, this is what, like, I would just love to do this. Okay, for me, that is ministry. That is being in the church. That is being in the trenches. Like, I know for not everybody that sounds super fun, but it's just since my early 20s when I got a hold of this thing, I was like, this is what I want to do. And I remember just sitting there and being like torn and really feeling emotional and all these things. But God is looking for an obedient vessel. And so I felt in that very moment that through prayer, right, through me submitting this decision to the Lord, he led me to the correct decision. And it wasn't like an easy decision. It wasn't like, all right, cool. Like, no, it was actually a very difficult decision. And either one would have been. But my point in saying that is that I wouldn't have got there. Eric could have made that decision. I could have used the emotional barometer inside of me, which unfortunately I think a lot of us do, including myself. And I could have used that barometer and said, okay, well, what is the thing that makes me feel good? The world's gospel is that. The world's gospel is do what makes you feel good. The gospel is do what he is telling you to do. That is our mandate in life. What does he want you to do? And sometimes those two things can coincide, right? Sometimes the thing that you want to do and what he wants to do can be the same thing. But often it's, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to do that, and it's going to be difficult. And the only way I'm going to get there is through prayer, is through talking to him, right? And the only reason I'm able to trust him is that I'm able to, I've given him enough opportunities to show me that he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my life. He's going to take care of my family. You know, this week recently, I was talking to some youth students, and we were talking about trust in the Lord. And, you know, I was giving them an example, actually, and my son gave me a better example. And it's this, is that, you know, and bear with me because it's the sports analogy, but that's where my brain goes a lot of times. And you know, in basketball, everybody has a role, okay? Everybody has a role. Not everybody in basketball can shoot a far shot, okay? There's a center who's next to the hoop. That person maybe every once in a while be able to shoot a far ball, but their job is to stay close to the hoop, okay? You have people like, and I'm just going to assume that most everybody here knows who Steph Curry is, okay? He's a pretty popular player, okay? Steph Curry, one of the greatest shooters ever play the game, and he shoots not just where the three-point line is, but he shoots way beyond the three-point line. And here's what I'm getting at, is that this team dynamic is built around getting him the ball. Why? Because he's proven time after time after time that when he gets the ball, he's going to make it. Okay, so they trust him. No matter if it's we're winning by a lot or we need the game winner, it doesn't matter. Get him the ball because he's going to shoot it. When we are on God's team, our job is to get him the ball. Because we know that regardless if we're doing okay or it's right at the nick of time, if we get him the ball, he's going to do something good with it. Okay, and it's through trust, though, and it's through faith, and we have to create this space with him in our prayer closets, in our quiet time, and say, God, I'm really scared right now, and I want to trust you, and I want to believe that you can do this, and be vulnerable with him, and not be afraid to say, God, I'm really struggling to believe that you can come through in this. But you know what? I'm going to give you the ball because I trust you and I believe you and I trust you with this circumstance. I trust you with this breakthrough. I trust you with this healing. I trust you with this selling of a house in Jesus' name, right? I trust you with this healing of a family member. I trust you with whatever the thing is. I trust you. Here's the ball. Because we can't do it in our own strength. We can try, and I've tried. I've tried to do it in my own strength, and it only gets me so far. Because Eric Lopez is only so strong, but Eric Lopez with God, oh man, the things that I can accomplish, the things that I can accomplish. Let me finish this in Acts 2, at verse 42, and this is the church here. Says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Again, I don't think this is about building a big church, like a building. I think this is about building the kingdom of God. You know, I feel like I say this all the time, like, would it be amazing if we had, you know, this church busting at the seams and we had to have multiple services? Yeah, that'd be cool. But I care less, and I believe our pastors care less about having a big congregation and really having a congregation that has big hearts for seeing the kingdom of God expanded and seeing others come to know the Lord through you. It'd be really cool if we can get people to come here and hear the great words of our pastor. But you know what would be even greater is that the people that call this church home, if they're able to take what they've learned here, equip themselves, and go out there, and that your friends, your family, they didn't have to come to One Life Family Worship in Selah, but because of the light in you, because you're connected with God, because you're prayed up, right, you're able to go and see and make many disciples like you're called to do, like we're called to do. The lives, like, there are people out there that need the Jesus inside of you. How do we get there? We pray. We read our Bible. How do we get there? We stay close to those around us, other Christian brothers and sisters. How do we get there? We continue to encounter our God. We don't shortchange it with just a Sunday service, but we say, you know what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to continue to encounter God. I don't need a worship team up here to stir this thing up inside of me, but I'm going to choose to encounter God. And I'm going to go and I'm going to be the light where God calls me to be the light. I'm going to pour out his spirit from inside of me. Amen. You guys pray with me. So Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your spirit. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are leading us, God. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are moving mightily, God, in One Life Family Worship, God. And more importantly than that, God, you are moving mightily, Lord, in your children. Lord, I pray, Lord, over everyone who could hear my voice, that the Spirit of God would be raised up inside of them, Lord, that you would stir something up inside of them, God, that when they leave this place, God, it would not just be another Sunday, God, but it would be a moment, Lord, to encounter you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, for marriages right now. I pray, Lord, you would strengthen marriages in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for families right now, Lord, that you would strengthen families, Lord. Restore, Lord, what needs to be restored, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, over all sickness right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I rebuke it right now. Lord, I rebuke everything, Lord, from cancer to a cold, Lord. Let it come under your dominion, God. Lord, I thank you so much for this house and that this is a house of prayer, God. This is a place, Lord, where your spirit dwells. And I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing here. God, I pray for our pastors, God. I pray, Jesus, that you would be with them, Lord, as they are praying diligently, Lord, for your house, God. And I pray, Jesus, that you would just continue to move, Lord, the way you are moving. And I thank you, God, Lord, for all that you are in our lives. Thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have a great week, guys. I love you.